I'm Jim Phillips, your host. Just before that break, we were talking about this idea of moisture management. Of course, it makes sense to minimize the amount of moisture that's coming in, and then you want to move it out faster than it's coming in, which simply means you're going to be staying dry or relatively dry. You get rid of moisture through opening up through venting. Well, very often that's why there's zippers and snaps and flaps and things like that, so you can dump the moisture to the outside by getting right down next to you. Challenge with that is venting is if it's really cold, or most especially, if the wind is blowing. You know, I have described this situation that I was in years ago where I was standing on top of Mount Washington. It was 13 below zero, and the wind was blowing at a sustained 110 miles an hour in those temperatures. Now, I'd gust above that a little bit, but 13 below zero, 110 mile an hour wind, that's serious wind chill, and you don't open up anything out there to dump moisture. So now we're relying on this thing that's called breathability. That's kind of a generic term that people use, and there's a lot of confusion about it, but it's the ability of moisture to pass right through all of the clothing and get to the outside. So we want the moisture to pass through the clothing ensemble, right through the lining materials, through the insulation materials, whatever layers or things you may have on, and then right through that shell material to go to the outside, and then we're getting rid of it. Well, let's talk a little bit about how does moisture move. I already gave you a little bit of a hint on that. I said that it wants to move from where it is warm to where it is cold. It's literally working with the laws of physics so that the moisture will jump right out of your clothing. In fact, the colder it is outside, the faster you will dry if you're obeying the rules that I'm teaching you. You see, if I'm 98 degrees inside, and let's say that outside it's 20 below zero, it's wonderfully dry out there. The moisture wants out there. You see, it's driven by the difference in temperature. In engineering or scientific terms, we call it delta T, the differential temperature between the inside and the outside. The bigger the differential temperature, the faster that it wants to move to the outside. And it's all about the vapor pressure. You see, inside, next to you, and where it's warm, the vapor pressure of the water is very high compared to the outside. Outside at below zero, it's like a vacuum out there to the water, and the water just literally wants to explode out unless you've put a material in there that sucks up and holds it, like cotton down or wool, which want to hold moisture, or if you've taken a synthetic shell material and you've coated it on the inside and made it waterproof, it can't get out, and it'll build up and get you wet over a period of time. Well, putting it all together to understand how and why it works is very, very simple. I've already told you, put on enough insulation so that you don't melt the snow. Use materials that don't trap the moisture, suck them up, and hold them. So we want to use materials that are hydrophobic, the synthetic kinds of materials. Waterproofing and breathability, what's the real challenge there? What's the real answer there? Well, if it's waterproof, it can't get through. Now, how about these materials that are called waterproof breathable? Let's understand something here. Now, and I want to be careful because I know I offend people. I don't mean to offend them, but I'm just going to tell you bottom line. Here's the bottom line. If you have a material that is waterproof and breathable, it is, in fact, waterproof. These materials, they're beautifully waterproof. They're perfectly waterproof. But I talk to people all the time. I've done hundreds and hundreds of classes around the country, taught thousands of people, and I ask them, how's your waterproof breathable material work? I'm not using any brand names right here because I want to be kind. And they tell me, it must not be waterproof because I get wet. It's like, no, that's not the answer. It is waterproof. You're getting wet because of the moisture buildup on the inside. It's from you. You're stewing in your own juices, if you will. It can't get to the outside. I'll tell you why that's the case here in just a moment so that you'll understand. Now, am I saying waterproof breathable materials are no good? I didn't say that. I said understand their limits, what they will and will not do, so you can use them safely right after this break.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Welcoming you back this afternoon to Prepare Without Fear. If you have any questions, you can send them to email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. I'll see to it that you get answers to everything. You can leave a voice message at 888-YOU-GET-SET. Our website is www.preparemyfamily.com. And if you'd like to learn more about the basic principles that I've been teaching all along and reviewing, then you can get a DVD. It's a free DVD or DVD giveaway. That's the button on there. $5.50 to cover the cost of getting it to you. The information we're giving to people to get you started in areas of preparedness. Now, before the break, and we've been talking about moisture management, staying dry, and all those kinds of things. And I was talking about waterproof breathable and made the point that there's a lot of people that use waterproof breathable. Hey, it's a beautiful concept. It's a wonderful concept. But waterproof means absolute. That means liquid water cannot get through from the outside to the inside. That is a true statement. This stuff is really waterproof. It works very well that way. But how about the breathability issue? This is the ability of moving moisture. See, it's about moisture vapor transfer. We call it MVTR. Moisture vapor transfer rate is what we're talking about. And these waterproof breathables, run somewhere between 20 to 40% of what you actually need. We know what the numbers are. You need to have a moisture vapor transfer rate. The standard, which is by the ASTM dry cup method, is 1,000 grams per square meter 24 hours a day at 68% Fahrenheit, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 50% relative humidity by the ASTM dry cup method. It needs to be 1,000. And these waterproof breathables usually run between 20 to 40. There's some of them occasionally as high as 60% of what you need. But 60% means you're not getting all the moisture through during a high moisture output period when you're, like, sweating heavily in the cold. You get ice all over the inside of these things. I've documented pictures again and again and again of ice all over the inside. As a matter of fact, you can see that in one of our DVDs. It's the second one in the series on the self-reliant family, which is called Clothing, and it goes through all principles I've been talking about here. You'll see in there a little chamber test and an individual that when we open up his parka, we had to end the test because he's in serious hypothermia and is going to lose the battle. And you see all this ice all over the inside of his waterproof, breathable coat, and then his clothing has picked up, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but it's like 1.2 pounds or 2.2 pounds of perspiration in his clothing because the clothing went in dry. We weighed it beforehand, and then we weighed it afterwards. It's all on that DVD, which is the Self-Reliant Family Number 2 Clothing. You can see it right there and watch it occurring. So we've documented the fact that not only from a laboratory standpoint, but from a use standpoint, when you're sweating heavily in the cold, you will not be able to get enough moisture to the outside to stay reliably dry. So that's what it really comes down to. You want to have materials that are not waterproofed. You want to have them that are very open. Now, you have to be careful. Here's a trade-off. If you want one of the material that's as open as a screen door, the moisture is going to go right through it, but so is the wind. So what you're looking for on the shell materials on the outside is something that's synthetic, unless we're dealing with flame or fire, then you go with cotton or wool. You're looking for something that's synthetic. It wants to be very tightly woven, but it's not sealed, it's not coated. It's tightly woven enough that the wind won't just cut right through it. And if you hold it up to your mouth, and this is what I do, I go to the fabric stores and I go up and down the aisles and I put it tightly over my mouth. Don't put your hand over your mouth to hold it there. You hold it off to the side, stretch it over your lips, and blow through it. And you can't just blow through it with your lungs. You'll be able to push a little bit of air through with your tongue and then suck back and see if you can suck some through it. I want to see a little bit come through. By the way, when I'm in these fabric stores, blowing through the fabric when I'm making it, and the clerks there, they look down the aisle. What's this guy doing? He's like chewing on our fabric or something. He sucks on it. And I'm just trying to determine if it's not sealed. If you can see the backside of the fabric, of course, very often you can see a coating on it and notice whether it's plastic coated or not, whether it's shiny or slick. If you're dealing with a coat you're trying to use, you may not be able to see the other side. And so that's when you have to blow through them to determine that it's tightly woven. A little bit of air goes through, but it's not sealed up completely. Anyway, there's the standards and there's the terms, MVTR, moisture vapor transfer rate. We want to be 1,000 or above by the dry cup method of testing. And the waterproof breathables, fantastic to use when it's warmer and when it's wet, when it's sleeting and slushing and mushing and those kinds of things. Put it on temporarily, but you want to be able to remove it because as soon as that sleet and rain has stopped, I want to move back to where I have materials that are very open and free to allow the moisture just to roll to the outside. So my pants, my shirts, my coats, my footwear, my sleeping bags are all made that way. I want to shed the moisture when it's falling, but when it's not falling, I want things to be very open so it can get to the outside. So there's the rules. This is how it works. Avoid waterproofing as you would avoid the plague in the cold. It has its place. It has its time. But if you're well below freezing, like from 25 degrees on down, waterproofing is of no value because there's no water out there unless you're going to step through a hole in the ice or something like that. And if you know you're going into an area where you may have that problem, well, waterproofing fits. See, make it fit your situation. Take care of things so that they will work for you and the kinds of things that you face. Now, about this time, somebody wants to say, well, just tell me what to buy. Tell me what to do. Remember what I said? If I just tell you what to buy, when things really get tough, you will probably just give up and die. I want you to understand how and why things work, because when the emergency comes, I'm not there to help you. Well, let's talk about something that's a little more common right now. Let's talk about layering for a moment. Is layering the only answer? Does layering work? And of course it does. As a matter of fact, I use layering all the time. You probably do. We hear about it, but it's taught as though the only way that you're supposed to do things is with layers. And when it gets colder, you layer up with more. And when it's warmer, you layer down with some. Well, those are good. That works. That's okay. But let's talk about the strengths of layering. First off, one of the greatest strengths of layering is the fact that you already have pieces of it laying around. You've got all kinds of things that you could put on. And it's simple to understand. It's like, well, it's colder, put more on. It's warmer, we'll take some of it off. That all makes sense. So it helps to reduce the cost because you can go with things that you already have. You have things around. You can do it kind of stages and steps. You can add to it as you need if you're going to a colder environment or if you're finding out things are not working as well. You can add some more things to it. So that all makes sense. It's easy to understand. There's no rocket science in layering, really. Let's understand some of the weaknesses, some of the problems. I talk to people. I do a lot of commercial classes. And I ask people about their layers and tell me about them. They say, well, you know, I can't move in them. That's not the fault of the layers. That's really the fault of how it's tailored and how it's cut to fit. You know, we have this idea that we want to be like slim and trim. And so you put all these layers on and you pack them on and they all fit really tight. Sometimes we're told that you want many, 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 many very thin layers because it traps air in between the layers. All right, just how much air is in between those layers, particularly if they fit close? There's like nothing in between them. That doesn't make sense. So you put on a lot of tight-fitting layers, you can't move in it. That's one of the problems. One of the other problems you have with layers is that once you get it all on and you can't hardly move in it, people talk about how bulky it is. Of course, then you can take some of them off, and that helps reduce the problem. But then taking some of them off, here's the biggest weakness to a layering system is if it's kind of warm. See, I teach a lot of industrial clients, and they park the snow cat at the end of the road, and they have to walk 100 yards up to this radio shack and climb a tower. And it's like a warm, sunny day, and they're going to go climb the tower. And they have all these layers with them. They look at this wad of stuff they have to take, so it's like, well, I'll just leave it in the snow cat. And they go climb the tower. Well, that guy on the way down off the tower didn't mean to miss the lower step, fall down, and break his ankle. That wasn't his intention, but now there he is at the end of the day, down in the snow, down in perhaps the wind and the setting sun, and he doesn't have his layers with him. So here's a safety tip. If you're using layers, if you know what the worst possible conditions are that you're going to face, you always, 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 always have all of those layers with you. I don't care how inconvenient it is, how bulky it is, how much of a hassle it is. You don't know what's going to happen. This is living providently. You're prepared for the worst. You take them with you. You have them around you. Find a way to conveniently pack them. One of the other problems we have with layers is people talk about how they get wet in them. I'm going along and I was working fine. Talked about this earlier. You know, the day was going fine and then all of a sudden it's like somebody flipped a switch. I want you to go through your memory and think about this. If you're somebody who's used a lot of layers and you've been, you know, some of the times you're comfortable, some of the other times you're not as comfortable, do you ever remember going, you had to get into an inner pocket or something like that, or you wanted to unzip something, or you wanted to vent, you started undoing things and you're putting your hands down inside. Do you ever remember that you come to in between one layer and there it's like wet? Here's the thing about layers. Layers promote moisture collection. If I had a whiteboard and I could all draw it for you and show you the law of physics, but there's a reason why it does this. It's because you have a difference in materials and you have an interface there and you have a temperature curve, a temperature gradient across those materials, across the whole ensemble with all these different little layers, and then you've got some air and then you have this material and then you have some air and then you have this material and you have that one, all these different things. You get little bends in the thermal curve, the gradient across that. And at each one of those little, the knee of the curve, we call it, where it bends, that's where moisture has a tendency to go. You'll get at one point where the temperature, the humidity is just right, and it starts to collect moisture. The dew point occurs at that point, and that ragged, if you will, or that not smooth temperature differential across those layers causes it to start form there. And once it begins to form, it accumulates more. Moisture begets moisture. Water begets water. That's the problem. So one of the weaknesses is the fact that layers trigger moisture collection in between the layers. We'll talk a little more about layering, and then I'm going to tell you what you can do to improve the performance. performance of your layers right after we go to this break. See you on the other side.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
About some of the issues and problems of cold weather living. And I don't want to just tell you the problem. I want to give you the solutions about these things. And we're talking about layers and some of the limits of layers. People that have been cold in layers. What can you do to tune up and get better performance from the layers? How can I get the best possible performance with what I now have? Now, by the way, I do, in fact, use layering part of the time a little bit. But if I'm going out in the cold, if I want to be out there living, and for extended periods of time, and or in my emergency kits that I have in vehicles or I take with me, whether I'm flying, driving, or what have you, when I have these kits with me, I, as a matter of fact, do not focus on using layering. So I'll tell you what the alternative is in a moment, but let's get the best performance you possibly can from your layers. Okay, first off, don't get tight-fitting layers. We don't want them to be restrictive. Now, you don't want something that's so loose and baggy and floppy it doesn't work either. It just wants to come down and kind of fit close to you. and not be compressing the other layers underneath it or the insulation materials, because it's air that keeps you warm. It's trapped, stabilized, dry, non-moving air. So if you put something over, you put a bunch of spandex that stretches over top of you, you're going to look skinny, but you're going to freeze your behind off. So the first thing is don't get them really tight. The other, and that also allows you to have some movement, some what we call easement in there. You can move around in it. The other thing is, sometimes it's been said that you want to have many, 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 many very thin layers. You know, put on a whole, you know, 14 pairs of pantyhose. Well, that'll help some, but not only is it restrictive, but also you'll find out that there's not that much air trapped in it. We're actually looking for things that are thick, that are kind of puffy. The thicker kinds of things will work better. All right? Here's the other one, though, that's really important that you understand. I see a lot of folks teaching about layers, and they have to mix in some of the traditional things. We've talked about materials. First off, I think you're going to understand that down is a wonderful, beautiful, soft, puffy material, but if you're in a situation where you have to live in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you don't have a cabin or shelter or heat or those kinds of things, down will get you in trouble after a very short period of time, because of the moisture buildup as it collects in the down. Nearly lost my life in 1971 to using down on a trip. Very, very close. When we get to the safety section, I'll tell you details about that one. But it was because my down sleeping bag just started building up moisture. It was in the tough kinds of conditions. The temperatures were only slightly below freezing, and it was snowing and all the time mushy stuff coming down. We got wet. The sleeping bag got wet. Nearly cost me my life in a three-day trip. Okay? So we're going to stay away from down. We're going to stay away from cotton. Cotton's the worst possible thing you can use, so you don't put any cotton or wool inside of any of your layers. If I'm going to use cotton, I'll put it all the way on the outside, never inside. But we have wool. It's a traditional material. We talk about being warmer when wet, and it's slow to pick up moisture, and it's better than cotton or down. But this is what's being taught. They'll tell you very often what you want to do is put on an inner layer that's all synthetic. It'll either be polypropylene or a polyester. Either one of them is okay. Actually, the polyester fabrics work better than the polypropylene. They're more durable. They last longer. They don't shrink as much when heated. And one of the problems with the polypropylene is it has a tendency to pick up and hold moisture. And you can't get odors, body odors. You sweat in that stuff and wear it for a few days. It's hard to get it out. It doesn't want to come out. The stuff still stinks, even after washing it. So the polyesters are a little bit better, but either polypropylene or polyester on the inside. And then very often it's taught, well, then you put on like a wool sweater. You put on a wool long underwear, and then you put on some fleece, and then you might put on some wool, and then you put on some more fleece, and you build it up like that, mixing materials, mixing wool and or synthetics. Here's the reality of these things. Remember what I talked about, moisture collection? The different materials and the interface between them causes moisture to build up. If you're going to put in some natural materials, they want to be as far to the outside as you can get them. Put the synthetics on the inside, your polypropylene, your polyesters, your fleeces. Fleeces, just the synthetic fleeces, that's nothing more than a polyester that's made into a kind of like fake fur is what it is. And you want to put those on the inside. Then if you're going to use wool, you put it towards the outside. If you want a wool sweater, put it over top of those things. But once you've made the transition to the natural material, keep it natural towards the outside, except perhaps a nylon windbreaker shell that goes over the outside. You like to have that so that you have a tendency for it to not get wet as quick. You'd actually be better off if you were synthetic throughout. Leave the wool out. If you're going to have wool in there, put it towards the outside and use your synthetics on the inside. You'll have better moisture performance by doing that, and especially once you've made a change to a synthetic or to a natural, stick with that through that area. Don't blend these layers together. They have a tendency to collect moisture. Okay, that's a little bit on layerings. Now let's talk about what it is that I do. I made a statement earlier on. I've made the statement a couple of times, that if you will do what I do, you can do what I do. That's not double talk. If you do things the way that I do them, then you can go out and enjoy the outside, whether it's in an emergency or whether it's just for fun. You can enjoy those things the way that I enjoy them. So we're going to talk about the system and the way that we do that, and I'll start building this thing for you in your mind's eye to show you what it is that we do. Some history, some performance, how and why things work, so that you'll understand you do not have to face winter with any fear. This is about winter without worries. After the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm your host, Jim Phillips. Well, here's the answer. This is what I do. I said, if you do what I do, then you can do what I do. Let me tell you a little bit about what I do. I can live in the winter at temperatures that are below zero. They don't have to be below zero. It can be 10 degrees. It can be 20 degrees. But I can live outside 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without the necessity for fire or shelter. Have done that a number of times. Previous class, we talked about the fact that I've been above the Arctic Circle several times. I've never been there in the summer. I have no idea what it's like during the warmer times of the year. It's only been during the winter when the temperatures are below zero. A wonderful time to go. It's a beautiful time to be up there, best time of the year to be up there. Do you know why? It's not crowded. You have all of the good campsites. You know, nobody wants them. You don't have to fight for them. It's terrific to be up there. Well, the system that we use and the approach that we use back in the 1980s when I was working with in development in these areas, and at the time I was also working a great deal with the U.S. military. I had some wonderful people that we worked with. The system picked up the acronym that's called PALS, P-A-L-S, the Phillips Arctic Living System. Now, it's more than just clothing. When we talk about the clothing component of PALS, yes, it is. It's your shirts, your pants, your hats, your mittens, your footwear, your sleeping system, and all of those kinds of things. All of the personal protection equipment that you would wear that we call clothing, it's all of those things, but it also includes the doctrine and understanding about winter and cold weather nutrition, about hydration, about living and working in the cold, about working in the snow. How about building igloos and snow houses and those kinds of things? It's about safety. It's about understanding winter injuries and what they're like and how to avoid those things. So that's the entire PALS system. It's not just the clothing. The clothing is a subpart of the entire thing. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, this is not a theory. This is not a concept. This is not an idea. I'll give you a thumbnail sketch of history. In the previous classes, there's been a little bit there, but I didn't give you the dates on these things. It has deep roots in a genesis that spans more than 45 years now. In 1957, that was the first snow camp, and I was a young guy at home, just a little tyke, going out with my dad. I was 10 years old at that time, and we started doing some snow camping and winter camping. What I remember about it is called misery. My dad was my hero. I wanted to go. We went. He wanted to go, and I just tagged along with him. And we were winter camping every year, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61. We were going higher, colder, longer, up into the high Rocky Mountains of northern New Mexico and into Colorado, and enjoying things. We were being exposed to temperatures that were 20, 30, 40 below zero at times, and we were doing it what I'd call the woodsman way, the mountain man way, and we were trying those things. You had to be tough. You had to be willing to suffer. In 1962, coming out of one of these snowshoe trips, been out there for 5 days, and coming out of that trip, my dad stopped, and he leaned on the ski pole that we used for steadying ourselves on our snowshoes, and he said, "We've got to find a better way to do this or stop going. We're just not masochists. We suffered with our feet and with our cold out there. You'd snowshoe along for a few hours, and then you'd stop and build a fire so you could rub your old cold feet and get the circulation back and try to dry out some of your socks and things." See, we were doing layers of boots and socks, and we were putting on the plastic bags. They still teach that now. You know, you get a plastic bag, and you slip over top of your socks, and you put them down inside of another sock, and then another plastic bag, another sock, and you jam that down in your boot. Hey, it didn't work in 1961 and 62. It doesn't work now either with a hood. But it all began in 1962 when he made that statement. He came back and simply said, "Look, I'm an engineer. The mountain climbers, the military, the survival people don't have an answer. As an engineer, what would I do to stay warm, comfortable, and dry?" And that's where the idea of this open-cell polyurethane foam began, because it wasn't real common back then, but he had access because of his industry where he was working. So he got some and made up this footwear. And I remember this because we were there at home one night in the living room, and he had sheets of this stuff spread out on the floor. He was drawing and cutting it out and figuring out how to fold it and put it together in a way so that he could take this foam booty sock that he made. And he had smaller feet than I do, and he could jam that down inside of a gigantic pair of galoshes. And he was going to make a pair for me and take me out there too. And my mother said, "No, not taking my son out." It was winter, and it was like 10 below zero there in Santa Fe, New Mexico that night. And so he had to go alone. My mother wouldn't let me go. I didn't get the first experiment out there. She was just protecting me, and bless her heart. Well, it was about midnight. My dad hadn't come home, and my mother was starting to say, "Yeah, good thing I didn't let my son go. My husband's gone out there and died in the cold, for goodness sake, with this goofy stuff he's wearing." And he came back a little bit after that, and she was a little bit miffed and said, "Well, why were you gone so long? What happened? We were worried about you and those things." He said, "It's the first time I've ever had warm feet at these temperatures. I could stay outside." That's when it began. We moved into putting them inside of some canvas. They were leather-soled bottoms, canvas mukluks. I have pictures of them. You can see them in the DVDs. 1962, and these leather soles wouldn't work very well on the snow out there. They were slippery, so we put ropes and wire on them to try and give some chain effect to them so you didn't fall down. Then we moved to getting a muckluck that the military had that had a vulcanized rubber sole and a canvas top, and so we went through that. Our first Arctic winter camp was in 1968. We were 600 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And now the system had gone from just being, you know, your footwear. We said, well, what about mittens? What about your head? What about how do you sleep? What about everything in between? And so it had been evolving since 1962 through 1968. My dad and I had talked about taking the ultimate winter camp, which was let's go to Alaska in the winter. And we thought, well, heck, if you're going to Alaska, he just looked at the map, and there's this place called Point Barrow, Alaska, at the most northern tip, and you can catch a plane right up there. So that's what we did. We went camping north of the Arctic Circle in the winter. This is February and March. Great time of the year to be there. We wandered off the plane. We've been traveling. See, there's something that you'll start to understand as I go along. This stuff has a very broad temperature range when you do it right because of how it moves moisture. We put on our full Arctic clothing and got on the planes there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's where we lived at the time, where we flew out of at the time. We got on the plane wearing this stuff. Now, you looked really goofy, and we'd go through the airports, and people look at us kind of strange, not as strange as they would nowadays. They probably wouldn't even let us in. But we were wearing that stuff, and as we traveled north and finally wandered off the plane at Point Barrow, Alaska, you're riding in a plane that's, you know, maintained around 70 degrees inside. You step outside, it was 30 below zero. It was wonderful. This 100-degree temperature change made no difference to us. We were perfectly comfortable. You put on your mittens and your hats and things like that, but the body wear and the footwear was what we were wearing all along. In fact, in 1967, I'd started making mukluks, very similar to what I teach people to make now, because my feet were larger than my dad's, and the shells that we were using, these military mukluks, were just too tight on my feet, so I started figuring out how I can do that. I'm going to tell you how you can do that. We still teach people how to do that. Make your own. By 1972, through the Arctic experience and through camping in the high Rocky Mountains, all of these things at well below zero. But by 1972, 10 years later, the entire basic principles for the PAL system had been developed, understanding about nutrition and hydration and clothing and how you move moisture and things. We didn't have a full understanding of the physics that was going on, but we understood the performance. In 1984, it became my full-time profession, and I've been teaching ever since then. From 85 to 89, there was a lot of R&D and manufacturing development that went on. I was under contract with a company, and actually there were several million dollars that was spent during that period of time, four Arctic trips, additional Arctic trips, and I traveled more than a million miles by air, giving briefings and training around the country. More than 11 U.S. patents and many foreign patents came out of that. In 1988 to 1990, the PAL system, I took that into marketing by raising more money and bringing in some people. Of course, that was also the downfall because I didn't know how to protect myself, and so I ended up on the outside of my own industry patents and those things. But that's the price you sometimes pay as you're learning how to do things. From 90 through 99, industrial commercial training classes, published courses, books and tapes, those kinds of things have been going on. When I talk about it not being a theory, in 1984, I told you about this, go back and review this on the previous program, that I was challenged to make an ice plunge, if you will, chop a hole in the ice, get in my funny homemade non-waterproofed clothing, and to get myself completely wet, spend the night, no fire, no shelter, no change of clothing. I did that. Obviously, I didn't die, but I drove myself into hypothermia. By the way, don't do this. This is a dumb idea. This really hurts when 32-degree water runs in against your skin. It's miserable. Listen to that on the other program. And if you want to read some things about this, in Popular Science in 1989, this would be the November issue, you'll see an article in there on the clothing. We were outfitting at that period of time a lot of people. Oliver Wood, who is the director of Die Hard 2, just made a statement. He said, I've worked in all weather conditions, and I can tell you that cold weather has always been my biggest fear. Since working with your outfits, I fear no more. They can send me to the North Pole, and it wouldn't worry me. Those of our crew who didn't purchase the whole outfit ended up getting the boots. It was a new experience for everyone not having cold feet. One of the guys fell through the ice, and he stayed warm in his outfit even though wet. Thanks for products that are such that do such a great job. In 1987, I trained and outfitted James Lovell, commander of Apollo 13. He was taking a private He was, you know, not an astronaut at that time. He's taking a private North Pole expedition. His comment that he wrote to us after that was, his cold weather protection system, PALS clothing, unlike any other available, is capable of providing indefinite protection in the most severe cold weather known to man. Without a doubt, we'll continue to use this system on our future trips to cold weather extremes of the world. So it's not a theory, what I tell you. It's not just because I've done it. It's because I've helped hundreds, thousands of people use different levels of this and gain different experience with it. So as I tell you about these things, there's no rocket science in this, nor is it magic. But if you obey the rules that I can teach you, it will sure feel like magic at times. Earlier, you learned the basic rules of the PALS clothing technology. All these things I've been teaching you, that's the foundation for it. And they are simple. And they're so simple in some cases that people may take them casually and say, well, they can't be that important. But here's the statement. The positive effects of strictly obeying the rules are cumulative, and the effects of breaking the rules are also accumulative, and breaking them, they can be very, very negative. So here's what you do. You have to commit to a course of action. The action that you choose will yield the corresponding results. There are five basic courses that you can take. You can do nothing. That's just like, hey, thank you very much, listen to what you say, I'm out of here, don't worry about it. Well, actually, in a way, you're kind of too late, because if you're listening to this program at this point, you've already stepped into part number two, which is learn the theory, but act only when forced to. You see, this is in this step, you're ignoring the issues and not really getting ready beforehand, but it leaves you with two major risks. You might have, you know, it's kind of like, well, I understand the theory, but when the need arises, you might not have all the things that you want or need. And you also, the other part of it is, you lack the practical hands-on experience to act with full confidence. You remember my description of knowledge? Knowledge equals information multiplied by experience. I've been giving you information. Your job is to gain experience with it. There's what I call the standby mode. You see, you've got the training and information, and you buy the best materials and the special tools, and you have them on hand. You might even experiment with a few little things and kind of get a little feel for it, but you don't do a whole lot. But you have the basic understanding, some very basic experience, and you have some of the materials when you need. That's kind of standby. You're ready to act more effectively. You can have what I call the ready mode, is that is you buy, make, and have what is needed. Occasionally use and experiment with everything so that you don't have any big surprises. Or you have number five, which I encourage people to do. That's the lifestyle mode. See what I'm talking about here? It's not just about this clothing and the things I'm teaching you. It's about everything that you're doing to get ready. The lifestyle mode is where you integrate the principles and you practice them into your everyday life. And so if an emergency happens, it's just kind of like you just move from where you are right through it out the other side, and it's like, oh, did something happen? That's the way I like to live. That's what I want my lifestyle to be, is not being caught up in disasters and emergencies, but simply when things happen, it gets inconvenient. That's my attitude about things. Hey, if you break your leg, it's inconvenient. It's not a tragedy. If your house burns down, it's inconvenient. It's not a tragedy. It's an attitude. It's not that we want those things to happen, but you're prepared to deal with it because you've been dealing with life. So the clothing solution that we're going to talk about, here's what you do. You can use what you commonly have, and I say, well, what's your experience so far? If you've been cold, wet, and miserable, then you already know. Don't pretend that you have the answer here. If you know that you really don't, or it only works part of the time, or if you've never really tried, you can make your own PALS clothing. We're going to start, and I'm going to do the best I can to teach that. And by the way, one of the things that I do and I enjoy doing is teaching these classes. We teach them live around the country. If somebody organizes a class and helps put it on, get me there. This is all to help keep the price as modest as we can. I'm happy to come and teach classes to groups and organizations that cover the expenses and the cost of getting there. And, of course, there's some time into it, and I have support staff. But we try to keep the cost very, very modest so people can afford to come, and I will teach you all the secrets. I'm giving them away on the radio. It's just hard for you to see some of them. All right? So you can make your own and then use it and never stop. Keep going all the time. So the bottom line is, you want to have knowledge about what it'll do. I've already told you, what do you do? you get out that lawn chair. Here, wait until January. You get out the lawn chair, you put on whatever it is you have that thinks will do the job, and you sit outside. If the coldest temperature you're exposed to is going to be 0 or 10 below, be sure you're outside at that. Or if it's 30 above, that's fine. Sit outside and know that that will work. Well, where to begin? And we're going to continue next week. I couldn't tell how long it's going to take me to do this thing. I'm trying to jam in. If I teach this class from beginning to end with all the details and show you everything and let you handle and make some things in class, it's actually 24 hours long. And then after that 24-hour long class, then we can also, those who have prepared themselves properly, will go off into some really nice cold environment and spend a couple of days out there living and working with it. So that's not included in the 24 hours. That's in addition. So here's where to begin, and this is what I'm going to teach you to do. First, we're going to protect the core. It's all about core protection. And we'll describe some of those things too. Secondly, we want to go to the extremity protection, taking care of your hands and your feet is what it comes down to. And then thirdly, it's about being able to sleep warm and comfortably, starting out by working with what you have and then expanding into in a complete system, everything that you would want to have. If you will go through those steps and prepare yourself properly, you can do what I do. Stay on top of Mount Washington, New Hampshire, go above the Arctic Circle, up in the high Rocky Mountains, live in winter in your backyard or anybody else's backyard, do it comfortably, safe, and well. So we'll talk more about that as we come back from our break so that you'll understand further about how to face winter without any fear and enjoy it safely and comfortably.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by Life Essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Thank you.
back to Prepare Without Fear. This is Jim Phillips, your host, talking about how you prepare yourself to deal with the future no matter what happens. Of course, one of those things you're exposed to is winter, and that's why I'm pulling materials out of this class. Last week and this week, these hours have been spent talking about winter without worries. If you understand the approach that I take, it's not just to tell you, go buy this and this is what you do, but it's to help you to understand the reasons why. It's the underlying science, the physics, the laws that make things work. It's not because we just showed up a few days ago and had a great idea. It's because there's a lot of history behind it, as I've laid out for you. Well, what we will be doing next week is talking as best. I'm going to scratch my head about how I do this and how I would teach it. I'm doing a live class this next weekend, Friday and Saturday, where I can show everybody everything, and they'll handle it. They'll make some things in the class. But I'll do the best I can to give you a description. And even if you can never make it to a live class, or you never bring us to your area for a live class, or you can never get one of the DVDs that we're producing, I will give you as much as I can. And I want you to understand that you will be light years ahead of where we were in the early 60s when this thing all happened in 1962. We didn't know anything. My dad didn't know anything other than we had to solve the problem. It's evolved through the years. I'm going to give you reference to some of the things that are published right now that you can look at things, but understand most of them are old. New publications are coming. If you'd like to read more about this, go to our website, preparemyfamily.com. Click on, go down to the library section there and click on Surviving Winter. If you'll Google search Jim Phillips and Foam, put those together, Jim Phillips and Foam, it's going to take you that same link, but it'll also take you to a Mother Earth News article. It'll take you to some others where you can learn some of the things from years ago, and I will do my best to update you in every area so that you'll understand what we're doing and why, and help you enjoy the winter without fear. As I've given you a little bit of review, and we'll pick up here next week, and I'll give you some more depth on this as I decide how I'm going to best describe things to you. We're going to be using, for the insulation, the primary thing that I'm going to use will be open-cell polyurethane foam plastic furniture padding. Now, they're not all the same, and I'll give you a description of what you're looking for as best that I can. Also, another website, a sister site in there, if you'll go to foamclothing.com, you can read on some of the descriptions about materials and things there. And I have some audios that are going to go up to describe to people about how and why things work and how to find some things. Even though we're going into production with these things, I'm going to teach you how to make them. If you cannot afford to buy something or don't want to buy it from us, I don't care. You just need it. I'll teach you what to do so you can make your own if you would like to do that. In some cases, people can't afford to buy things. You know, somebody else's labor in it, and you want to put your own labor into it. Please do that. Glad to help you put your own labor into things, your own sweat equity, so you can afford to do these things. That is my purpose, is to help families and individuals who would like to be prepared for whatever comes. I'm no predictor of what's happening or what will happen. I have opinions about things, but I don't know. I'm not a special witness in those areas, but I know that I've been asked to help people prepare. That's what I do. Would like you to face a future without fear, helping to build self-reliant families who will be interdependent within self-reliant communities. That's what it's all about. You can email me at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or leave a voice message at 888-YOU-GET-SET. That's 888-YOU-GET-SET. Or reach us through preparemyfamily.com. That's the website. We'd be glad to help you any way we can. Perhaps we'll be doing classes in your area. If you'd like to help organize one and bring me there, I'd be glad to do that. I need people on the ground who can organize them because I don't know your area. Look forward to meeting you. See you next week, same time. Have a great day. This is Jim Phillips, Prepare Without Fear.